ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि. ॐ सहनावतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यं करवावहै, तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ. ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणी निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं, सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं. Last week we saw two verses, 18, where Bhagavan says that Jyotishamapi Tad Jyotihi, I am the light or this supreme reality or this Kshetradnya or Purusha is the light of all lights. And I told you the brightest source of light that we are aware of is the sun, but to validate the sun, a conscious being is required. And so the light of awareness or the light of consciousness is even brighter than that of the sun. And that's why it's light of all lights, because sun is the brightest among the five luminaries. Sun is the brightest. So if even the sun requires a conscious being to validate it, then obviously the others require it as well. Tamasa paramuchate, it is beyond, it is untouched, uncontaminated by tamas. The closest example is if you go on the sun, will the sun ever know what darkness is? So the pure consciousness, being extremely pure and one without a second, has no impurities whatsoever. Rajas and tamas are the impurities. It also is beyond sattva. So there's no question of tamas touching it. It's sattva can't touch it. Okay. Then jnanam neyam jnanam gamyam. Jnanam, I told you, is the 20-point program. And the 20-point program is the 20 virtues which Bhagwan already told us, from amanitvam, adhambitvam up to adhyatma jnana nityatvam. So there are those 20 virtues which we call as the 20-point program. Means you follow that program and then the mind is so highly purified that it becomes easy for the seeker to understand what this nirgun nirakar Brahma is, because that is what we are talking about in this chapter, is Nirgun Nirakar, which is also known as Kshetradnya, which is also known as Purusha, Brahman, Supreme Reality, Pure Consciousness, all one and the same, Neyam. Okay, so the second word there, Jnanam, is the program by which Neyam is known. Neyam is the goal, the Supreme Reality, which is to be known. And what happens when you follow the 20-point program is jnana gamya, means the words that are spoken to explain the Supreme Reality, because there is no other way of communication. Even though the Supreme Reality is beyond words, but we cannot go beyond words. We are only in the realm of words. So when the words are spoken, the understanding that arises in the mind is correct. That is very important, because there is one speaker and there are many listeners, and each listener, the understanding of each listener is as per the maturity of his or her mind. And so when the 20-point program is followed and the mind is extremely pure, then when the words are spoken, they are understood correctly. Okay. And where is this Supreme Reality? Where is this goal? Where is this destination? Where is this Supreme Reality? Hridi sarvasya vishtitam. So it is in the hearts of all of us, all the beings, not just human beings, but it's in the heart of the animals and the plants and the inert beings, everything. It is in the heart. And the reason that this word heart is used in practically every Upanishad or Bhagavad Gita is to draw our attention to the fact that if I want to reach the reality, I need to go inside. Because we are constantly saying that the supreme reality is all pervading, then the question might arise, if it is all pervading, why can't I, you know, go out into the outside world and recognize it? So that is not a possibility. It will not be possible because the world will, it will not allow you to see the reality. So the only way is to turn inside. And that's why it is always, Upanishad also will say, it is located in the heart. That doesn't mean that it is not located elsewhere, only in the heart, but for us to then look for it in our own heart, not in somebody else's heart. So turning inward is what the message is there. And then I told you, how do I turn inward? Is first of all, the experience, the objects, the world of objects, our dependency on that has to be reduced. Because when the dependency reduces, attachment reduces. And when attachment reduces, we do not think as much of it. Do I think of something that I don't like? Spiders, snakes. I don't waste my energy. I don't even, those thoughts never even come to me. The thoughts of those things comes to my mind for which I have attachment. And as long as I have attachment for the external world, those thoughts will keep coming, and the thoughts will as though veil the reality which is within us. And therefore, our dependency on the outside objects has to be on anything that is experienced. So experienced is also the body. That includes also the body. I don't think if it's outside means, okay, house and other things. No, our own body is experienced. It is seen. It is inert. And so attachment to the body has to be reduced. Then there is the experiencing between the subject and the object. That experiencing also has to be devalued by knowing that today this object gave me happiness, this a particular type of experience, but tomorrow it may not give me the same experience. So know that that experiencing is fluctuating, it is changing, and therefore it is inert, it is the not self. And so reduce your attachment to that experiencing. Actually, what happens is when I experience happiness, I get attached to that happiness and then I want to indulge again. I want to do it more because I'm attached to that feeling, that good feeling that I get when I eat something nice or see something nice or hear something nice. I get a good feeling and I want to repeat that feeling. So that's why in chapter 2, Bhagavan has already said this spraha should be avoided. Spraha is the longing to enjoy again. Longing. It is not the enjoyment itself, but it's the longing to enjoy, and that has to be avoided. So then what remains is the experiencer, and the experiencer is the ego, because the supreme reality is beyond experience at all. So the experiencer is the ego, and therefore the ego also has to be finally devalued. And the way we devalue it is that we don't pay too much attention. Oh, I'm hurt, and then now I'll tell 10 people. I'm so happy, 20 people phone calls. When we do those things, what we are doing is we are strengthening our own ego, and that strengthening has to be avoided. So when the ego feels hurt, you have to be able to say, okay, you're hurt, tough luck, let go. And that's how, because the ego, you know, the ego doesn't want to die. Who wants to die? Nobody wants to die. Ego especially definitely doesn't want to die. So the ego will, you know, I got hurt and it will always go on, you know, crying. And then we feel sorry. This. Don't. I'm the supreme reality. You want to cry, you keep crying. You have got nothing to do with me. That way you have to devalue the ego. The reason to devalue the ego is if the ego is completely vanquished, that's it. We're done. There's only supreme reality then. Because the ego itself is the supreme reality. But the ego is so much chattering in between that we can't see the reality. And so when we quieten the ego, by devaluing it, by not paying attention to it, then what happens? It's like, you know, there is a child who is, crying for no reason, right? But when the mother pays attention to it, it will even do it more because it wants attention. But if the mother ignores that child, of course, if there's something seriously wrong, that's a different matter. But after some time, that child will stop doing that. It's like that. So don't pay too much attention to the ego. I'm hurt and this one said this and that one said that and all those things. That's why I told you WhatsApp. Last week, I gave you that example, right? On the WhatsApp groups, people are getting so sensitive. It's really funny because another group in India on which I'm not a part, thank God, it's my high school group. And they are having fights among themselves now. This is what I found. I thought, okay, you know, this is ridiculous. It's all the play of the ego. And then he goes on to tell us, iti kshetram tatha jnanam. So I have told you in brief, what is kshetra, 5 and 6 verses. And after that's the 20-point program. And then after that, the description of the Supreme Reality. In brief, I have told you what it is. And madbhakta etat vidnyaya. So the one who is devoted to me will reach me. My devotee knowing this. Because you see, etat vidnyaya is there. So etat vidnyaya, this is the definition that Bhagavan Shankaracharya has given of bhakti. In here, nirgun nirakar bhakti. See, we saw sagun sakar bhakti, where there is an idol which I can decorate and do puja and worship and admire and meditate in the mind on that thing, on the idol. But now it is nirgun nirakar. So bhakti becomes a knowledge of that nayam. And that is bhakti. And that is the definition that Bhagavan Shankaracharya also has given in Vivek Churamani. That according to him, bhakti is to know your real nature. That is bhakti. Otherwise, then there is sagun sakar, which is very easy because there is an idol outside. That's why this becomes very difficult. So this madbhakta, he is not saying that you cannot understand nirgun nirakar as being something other than you. Sagun sakar you can, but not nirgun nirakar. So that's why when he uses my devotee, what he means is you have to understand your own basic nature that you and I are not different. That is nirgun nirakar. That's why madbhakta etat vidnyaya. Etat vidnyaya means what? Means the one who knows kshetra and kshetranya. Because this is what he said. He said, I told you what is kshetra. I told you what is kshetranya. Now when you come to know yourself what kshetranya is, that is my real devotee. This is what he said. So that is sagun sakar, nirgun nirakar bhakti. Okay. Now we proceed. Are there any questions so far? Is it clear? Because we're going to get into a little bit of muddy waters now. Yeah, Kulwant?
You know, in this chapter, he says, Sat and Asat. I am not Sat, I am not Asat. And in the other chapter before, I don't know which one, it says, I am Sat and I am Asat. Everything is me.
I am Sat and I am Asat. See, there are, means in both I am, but I am untouched by both.
Okay.
That is how it should be taken.
So he's there, but he's not.
Because nothing is existing without the Supreme Reality, right?
Yeah.
The snake cannot exist without the rope. Yet yeah. The rope is totally unattached to the snake. Is the rope ever attached to the snake?
No. But here he says he is not Sat, he is not Asat.
No, he's beyond and both.
Beyond both. And in that one, rope is there, rope is Sat. So you say he's there.
That is an example.
Okay.
That it's the substratum and the superimposition is happening. But the substratum is never touched by the superimposition. So that way, the Supreme Reality is never touched by Sat or Asat or anything. It will come again. We'll see that again. Okay.
Thank you.
Prakrutim purusham chaiva vidyanadi ubhavapi vikaramsha gunash chaiva vidhi prakruti sambhavan. Know thou that matter and spirit are both beginningless. And know thou also that all modifications and qualities are born of Prakriti. Okay. So matter and spirit are both beginningless, Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti here has to be taken as the inherent power of the Lord. Okay. So if we take our own example, and if I say that, okay, I have eyes and then I have the power to see. I have the power of seeing. So, and if the question arises, when did this power start? It started with me when I was born. So whenever I was born, along with me came the power of seeing, power of smelling, whatever, power of tasting. All the powers came with me. Okay. Now, because Prakriti is also an inherent power of the Lord, Prakriti came when Lord came. And when did Lord come? We don't know. Beginningless. So because the Lord is beginningless, because the Supreme Reality is beginningless, Prakriti, which is his inherent power, also becomes beginningless. That's what is meant here. Is this understood? Because it is the inherent power of the Lord. See, these words are all synonyms: Prakriti, Maya, Vasana, Avidya, Karan Sharira, causal body. They are all synonyms, but they are used for explaining different things. That point has to be understood. So when the word Prakriti is used, it is used in relation to the creation. Okay. It's like this. There is me. I am a daughter. I am also a mother. I'm also a wife. I'm also a sister. I'm also a friend. I'm also an enemy. It's the same person. But whoever is standing in front of me is going to refer to me by that name. So if we are talking of creation, then we are going to say Prakriti. And then we are going to say Prakriti is the inherent power of the Lord, because that is what is making creation possible. We'll be talking about this in more detail. So here, understand that they are beginningless because they are one and the same. That's one thing. Okay. And know thou also that all modifications and qualities are born of Prakriti. So what is being said is that whatever modifies is happening in Prakriti, it is not happening in the Supreme Reality. So let us go back to the example of electricity and appliances. But this time I'm only going to take one appliance, microwave. So you buy a microwave and on day one, you use it and you warm up a cup of milk or cup of water, whatever. And it comes to the temperature that you want, maybe in a minute or minute and a half. Okay, fine. So that's okay. And then weeks go by, months go by, years go by, say second year, third year, you put the same cup with the same liquid, same amount of liquid, and it doesn't warm up in a minute or minute and a half. Now it is taking 2.5 minutes. Have you experienced this? I have experienced it, because when my microwave, you know, it's not functioning. So as well as it was functioning on day one. So what is happening is the change is happening in the microwave, not in the electricity. You cannot say that now electricity power has reduced after 2 years and therefore now my microwave is not warming up my milk in the same time. But what you have to understand is that it is the microwave that is modifying. Electricity is the same as it was on the first day of the microwave. Is this example understood? Clear? So microwave is Prakriti and electricity is the Supreme Reality. So that is what he's saying. Know thou also that all modifications are happening in Prakriti. There is no modification happening in the Supreme Reality. So all the modifications that you see, and that is why we say that this body is also falling under Kshetra, because we are seeing this body changing. We are seeing the mind changing. We are seeing the intellect changing. We are also seeing the ego changing. And that's why they are falling under Kshetra. And all these modifications are happening in Prakriti and not in Purusha or spirit. Is this clear? Clear? Okay. I'm going to go a little bit deeper now. So those of you who are brand new to this, if you can't follow or is difficult for you to understand what I'm going to say further than this, don't worry about it. This much, if you understand, then you have understood this verse. This is where I would have stopped in a yajna setting. but I have the time right now. So that's why I'm going to go a bit further. So the verse is complete understanding if you know that Prakriti is also beginningless like the Lord, because Prakriti is the inherent power of the Lord. And whatever changes are happening, they are happening in Prakriti, and there is no change happening in the Lord or in the Supreme Reality. Clear? All right, fine. Now, the point is, how is it that, what is it that is making Prakriti modify? How does she modify and Supreme Reality doesn't modify? So we go to another example. I have a, say, a biscuit of gold. You know, I have gold, a lump of gold, biscuit of gold. And I take it to the goldsmith and I say, you know what, I want this, this, this ornaments made. And the goldsmith says, yeah, no problem. Leave it with me. Come back in a few days. Whatever that you want, I shall make for you. All right. We have all done that probably. Fine. I have mercury also in the house. You know mercury? You see it in the thermometer. Most common, right? So I have mercury in the house and I take the mercury to the goldsmith and I say, you know what? Can you make ornaments out of this mercury for me? And the goldsmith says, no, ma'am, not possible. I can't. And the reason that he's saying that is because gold has the potential to get modified, which mercury does not. It is the potentiality in the gold which allows it to get modified into the ornaments. And what is that potential? Where is that potential coming from? Because gold is a metal where when heat is applied, it'll become soft, it'll melt. So when it becomes soft, it can be molded. And no matter how many ornaments it is molded into, it itself doesn't change. Does the necklace suddenly become something else other than gold, or the bangle is something else other than gold? No, the gold doesn't change. It is the potentiality in the gold which allows the goldsmith to modify it into various ornaments. And no matter how many ornaments are made, the gold remains gold. Is the point understood? Now, because Bhagwan is saying Prakriti is the one that is modifying, that means Prakriti is the potential in the Supreme Lord which can be modified, which can modify. Prakriti has the potential to modify. And where is she getting that potential from? She's getting it from the three gunas. That's why Prakriti is described as Trigunatmika. Trigunatmika Prakriti is her definition. Bhagavan Shankaracharya will give that. So she is made up of these three qualities, which are sattva, rajas, and tamas. And they are what are allowing this Prakriti to modify. They are allowing, because those gunas can be modified. So that is why we are told that if I have more tamasic tendencies, I have the potential to change that into rajas. I have the potential to change that into sattva. Because if we did not have that sort of a potential within us, no addict would have come out of addictions. How do you think addictions are getting rid of? Because there is a potential to change. There is a potential to improve. And that potential is because of the gunas. Those gunas are in Prakriti. And that's why Prakriti modifies. And Supreme Reality is beyond the gunas. And therefore, Supreme Reality can never modify. Clear? Abhimanyu, if you're saying something, you're muted. I can't hear you.
Hari Om. What you just explained would just be how long the Atma is still, the ego and the Atma is still together. That only happens when, how long one is not realized. That potentiality, it only occurs how long one is not realized.
Okay. So Are you trying to say that once one realizes that potentiality goes away? Is that what you're trying to say? Because
there is no need for it to there is no need for that to exist once one is realized.
Why not? Why not? A realized master may want to learn more languages.
Pardon?
A realized master may want to learn more languages.
Yes, but what I'm saying, when that person passes.
No, when he passes, then he's got Videha Mukti.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what the difference is. Okay. So an ignorant person, the one who has not come in contact with Vedanta doesn't even know this. Because he doesn't even know Prakriti, he doesn't know Purusha, he doesn't know the gunas, so forget him. So there are these in-between people like us, neither here nor there. So we have heard this, and we know we have the potential, and that's why a person can improve. Okay, now the person transgresses the gunas, right? Realization is what? Going beyond all three. What is realization? I told you. Supreme reality cannot modify because it is beyond the gunas. It is the gunas that is allowing Prakriti to modify. Supreme reality being beyond the gunas has no potential to modify. Now this person has gone beyond the gunas and he has realized. So the difference between the realized master and the seeker is that the realized master has these gunas under his control. That's why Gunatita Purusha is going to come now in 14. So not that he does not have the potential, but they are under his control, which we are under the control of the gunas.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That the gunas no longer control.
The master doesn't have the potential. He doesn't lose the potential. He doesn't lose the potential, but now the potential is in his control. Prakriti is under his control, whereas we are under the control of Prakriti right now. Because, and I'll tell you why also. We are under the control of Prakriti because when the body modifies, I think I became old. I get upset. My hair is going gray. My teeth are falling. I'm upset. So we are under the control of Prakriti. Every time I get upset about anything, I have come under the sway of Prakriti. I can't do as much as I used to do before. I'm forgetting things. I'm upset. Somebody hurt me. Somebody said this to me. I get very happy when things happen to me. All those emotions when they are going on within us, understand that we are under the control of Prakriti. When the master realizes, when the person realizes, he doesn't go up and down like this. So Prakriti comes under his sway. We are right now under the sway of Prakriti. So it doesn't that Prakriti, see, even for a realized master, I told you already that it's not that he sees something different in the world. He sees the same world is not changing, not going anywhere for anybody. He sees the same world, but what is his reaction to that world is way different than what an ignorant person's view is. That is what changes. Think about it. If you have understood this verse, that Prakriti is also beginningless because she is the inherent power in the Lord, and whatever changes are happening in Prakriti. So when these changes are happening in my body, I am concerned because I am not the Prakriti. I am the Supreme Reality. If I can keep that in mind, that's okay. Any questions? Any further questions?
Yeah. Jayaji, can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
I can't turn the camera on, otherwise I'll lose you.
That's fine. Go ahead.
So if I understand this correctly, the potential in all humans to change is the same. It's the degree of control that we have over it that causes the different changes in different people. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. We,
okay.
Yeah. We don't Thank see you. Some of us, it means totally who are not on this path, they don't even know, or they might do it for whatever. But this is how the even they might do the changes. Like there are not that all addicts are, you know, following Vedanta and that's why they've gone there. They want to improve their life, whatever. So what they have done is from tamas, they've come into rajas and sattva, but they don't know that. But that is what is causing the changes. And that is what is giving us the potential, the gunas.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Premsai, did you want to ask something?
I just wanted to go back to the gold nugget metaphor just to make sure that I've understood it. So the potentiality to change is the gunas, right? And the ability to change the forms is prakriti. You said that the gold remains consistent throughout. Is that the supreme reality then?
Yeah. Supreme reality remains consistent. What is changing is prakriti.
Okay. I just wanted to make so the form itself is prakriti. But what the material that supports it and it is made out of is the supreme.
That reality. Never changes. That Thank never you. Changes. Okay. If you're explaining this to your students, you need to just explain the first part. You shouldn't be going into too many details because children will get confused. Okay. Prakriti Sambhava. Now you have to, does everybody remember the example that I had left you guys with last week? At the very end. So while I read this verse, please remember, okay? Now I'm going to ask that as a test question. Karya karana kartritve hetu prakriti ruchate purusha sukha dukkhanam bhoktritve hetu ruchate. In the production of the effect and the cause, prakriti is said to be the cause. In the experience of pleasure and pain, purusha is said to be the cause. So this is a little the same. So I gave you the example of water, ocean, and waves. Now you remembered, Prem. You did. Okay. So I told you that I brought a wave home and realized that, oh, geez, this is not a wave. This is only water. Then I went and tried to bring the ocean home. And then again, I realized that this is also not the ocean. This is only water. Okay. So water is the substratum. There is ocean and there is waves. Okay. This everybody knows. Fine. Now, one thing you have to understand is that suppose I wanted to make waves at home. So what I do is I don't just bring a little bit of water, a little bit of just one wave, but I bring a whole lot of water in a tanker or whatever. I hire a tanker and I bring it and I have an indoor swimming pool or I have a big, huge tub here and I pour that water into that tub or the swimming pool. And then I'm waiting for the waves to happen. Do you think the waves will happen? Who thinks the waves will happen? One no I get, two no's. Only two people saying no, everybody saying yes, majority wins.
The light and not saying if I have jacuzzi, I can.
If you start the thing, no, just an ordinary tub. Okay, the correct answer is no. You cannot get waves by just bringing a tank full of water or a container or whatever, huge whatever, because for the creation of the wave, what is required is the wind. How is the wind waves formed? So there is water and then there is wind, and that is why the waves are being formed. If there was only wind and no water, could a wave be formed? There's no water, just because of the wind. Point to be noted here is that if a creation has to happen of a wave, essential things are the water and the wind. Is this understood? Okay. Water is the supreme reality. Wind is prakriti. Therefore, for the creation of the world, neither can the supreme reality do it on its own. Why? Because it doesn't have the potentiality to modify. And neither can Prakriti do on her own, because Prakriti requires the presence of supreme reality to be there. Is this point understood? You cannot have world without these two things, the supreme reality and Prakriti, who has the power to modify. Now, in the example, it is all water, but when the waves start forming one after the other, we call it as ocean. Do we go to the beach and say, oh, this is only water, this is only water, or do we say this is ocean? Because you're seeing the waves coming one after the other. So it is called as ocean. Now, in our example, water is the supreme reality, or Turiya, or Brahman, or pure consciousness. Ocean is Ishvara. And the words in the next, they're a bit distinct, but understand that ocean is Ishvara and wave is Jiva, is the individual. And understand that that wave, that Jiva, cannot be created without both supreme reality and Prakriti being there. Is this clear? All right. Now, coming to the verse. Karya karana kartrutve, karya effect, karana cause. Kartrutve here is not doership or doing, it is the material cause. So what is being said? What is the effect? Wave or jiva, right? Effect. Karana, what is the cause of jiva? I said, Prakriti. Without Prakriti, there cannot be a, without wind, there cannot be a wave. Right? And then there has to be a material cause, which in this case is provided by Prakriti herself, because the material cause is coming from her tamasic gunas. The material cause is coming from tamas. And the efficient cause to make something, the efficient cause, water is the efficient, means supreme reality is the efficient cause. So this karya karan kartrutve hetuhu prakriti ruchate. What is being said is that the effect, which is the creation of this world, is not possible without Prakriti. Without wind, you cannot get a wave. Is this clear? But now, outside the world is there, the situation is there. Where do I feel sukha and dukkha, joy and sorrow? Where do I feel all the emotions? They are in my mind. Correct. Now, how is the mind functioning? Can the mind function without the presence of the supreme reality? So the cause of this world is Prakriti. Means Prakriti means not Prakriti alone. Do not understand Prakriti as alone. Prakriti is the inherent power of the Lord. So Lord is there with her. So she has created. But this experience that goes on in my mind is because also of the presence of supreme reality. But that is what, because of the supreme reality. And the supreme reality expresses in the mind as Chidabhasa. Those who are new, do not worry, but those who know Chidabhasa. So what is actually happening is the supreme reality is reflecting in the pool of the mind. And then that reflection, which is the ego, says, I am happy, I am sad. But the reflection has no existence without the supreme reality. And therefore, what is being said here is that this effect that you see, an effect includes body, mind, intellect. That should not be forgotten. Because when I say effect, and when we say creation of the world, I think of everything beyond this body. I never think of my body because I have a sense of myness in this body. So all the creation is beyond this. Okay, computer, house, photos, altar, even clothes, even my clothes. Okay, that is also creation. But body, no. Body is me. That is to be understood very clearly. That body also goes into the creation. Body also the cause is Prakriti. And the body itself has come from the tamas guna, tamasic guna of Prakriti. The pranas have come from the rajas, and the mind has come from sattva. And because they have modified, therefore Prakriti has that potential to modify this various, you know, the gross body has got various, hand is different, leg is different, nose is different, eyes is different. All this is formed from tamas. But the experience, that the experience of sukha and dukkha means joy and sorrow and includes all emotions. So that happens because of that reflected consciousness. And that reflected consciousness is what is here now known as Purusha Sukha Dukkha Nam Bhoktrutve Hetu Ruchyate. This word Purusha must not be understood as the supreme reality, because Purusha word is used in different meanings. I already told you that is the limitation of this Shabda Praman, that each word can have multiple meanings. And here when it is said Bhoktrutve, so you will, Bhoktrutve is to experience, to enjoy. Right? So if you take Purusha as supreme reality, then there'll be a misunderstanding that, oh, supreme reality is then experiencing joy and sorrow. And it's not. It's not. Therefore, this Purusha is to be taken as Jiva, actually. The ego, the reflected consciousness. Complete silence. Yes, yes, Narayanji. You have to unmute.
Out of context, but still, is this the difference between the Visishtadvaitam and Advaitam?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Any questions regarding this?
Jayati, I would like to know, body has come from tamas, and what has come from rajas and sattvic?
Pranas. Rajas is pranas.
Prana.
And sattva is mind.
Okay. Thank you.
Organs of perception. Is this was clear? Understood. Some people not understood. Simple way to understand. This is what? That Prakriti, because we already saw in the previous verse that Prakriti modifies, okay? And Prakriti modifies and Supreme Reality does not modify, okay? Now, point number one. Prakriti modifies because of the gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. So there are three gunas in the Prakriti. Supreme Reality does not modify because it is beyond the gunas. It has no gunas, so it cannot modify. Like mercury cannot modify into ornaments, but gold can. That's why I give you that example. Okay, the potentiality to modify is not there. Now, this entire world, and forget the world, that's why it will come this week in Vivek Chudamani also. When Bhagwan talks of the not self, he only talks about the body. He does not talk about the world. We'll see that. That's the point in that Vivek Chudamani, is that why is Bhagwan describing not self as the body? This is what in Vivek Chudamani he describes. He says, okay, Viveka is to understand the difference between self and not self. And the not self is the body. Aray Baba, but what about the world? So we will see that there. So here you understand that when it is said karya, this effect, body is an effect. That part you have to understand. And because it is an effect, it is not self, it is falling under kshetra, it is changing. So it is a modification of Prakriti, and it is Prakriti. It is Prakriti because it is modifying. It does have the gunas. Okay, so Prakriti is responsible for the creation, but the feelings that I get, you know, when I see something I like and when I see something else I don't like, that feeling is coming from the Chidabhasa. It's coming from, the Jiva is feeling it. See, even if I say touch by mistake, if I touch my hand to a hot surface, in my mind I feel, na? What do I feel? In the mind I will get, oh my God, this is too hot. Or if I feel happy about something, where am I feeling it? Do I feel it in the body or do I feel it in the mind? Outside experience is happening, but the feeling is coming in the mind. And that is what is being said. This experience, feeling or bhoktrutve, experience is happening in the mind. It is because of that chidabhasa. It is because of that reflection of consciousness. But the creation itself is done by Prakriti. I'm good. Okay, now I'm going to tell you something. If is this clear or not clear? Clear, clear, good. No, okay, okay.
So, Yaji, that means is all powerful. Purushas, nothing, he does nothing except that it gives everything Purusha does is through the Prakriti.
Yeah, actually Purusha doesn't do anything. Prakriti does everything. And when you go a little bit even deeper, you come to know that there is no Prakriti either. So there is nothing but Purusha. That's why I gave you the example of gold. Even if you make 100 ornaments out of it, ultimately what are all those ornaments?
Gold.
They're gold alone. No matter how many waves are created on the ocean surface, they are all water. It doesn't matter. There are waves created, bubbles are there, foam is there, all different kinds of things that you see. No matter what you take, you take a bubble, it is water. You take foam, it is water. You take wave, it is water. So same way, whatever modification Prakriti has undergone, ultimately it is only supreme reality. It is nothing other than, there is nothing other than the supreme reality in this world. This is the ultimate understanding that has to come. Kshetradnya.
I have a little bit doubt, is that when earlier this evening you said, Jayaji, that a realized person has these three gunas under his control. Agreed. But then, and you said that Prakriti is same for him, but it's not. Because if we think that Prakriti, that substratum, once you realize that for you, the Prakriti is not there then. Or he sees Prakriti in different form.
I didn't say Prakriti is the same for him. I didn't. What did I say? I didn't say Prakriti.
He said three gunas are under his control.
That is right. But yeah. I said the world is the same for him. The world, I said.
In my opinion, what I understand is that once he has realized, then he sees the oneness, which is the realized self in everything and everybody.
Yeah.
Then world has changed for him.
Then what has changed?
World, the Prakriti, has changed for him, right? If he sees the world, or if he sees the Prakriti is oneness in all, then his picture of world has changed.
His picture that he sees physically does not change, but his
physically
understanding
not, yeah.
is different.
Understand. Right?
The understanding is different. Okay? So Prakriti is there. Prakriti is the inherent power of the Lord. So even if he has become Lord, he still has that inherent power. Prakriti is the inherent power of the Lord. Where will it go? He has gained knowledge. Correct. Of his own self, he has gained knowledge. So what changes is his understanding changes. His way of looking at life changes. That's why we have Raman Maharshi saying to the doctor, you can operate on me without anesthesia. Will I say that? Ever? Even a flu shot, can you give me anesthesia before you give me, right? Why did he say that? And he did it. And the doctor operated without him because he removed himself out of the body. That is what tells you he's in control of Prakriti. He controls the body. So what happens is he comes in and out of the body as he wants. Can we do that?
No.
That is what it is.
Jayaji, what I was saying earlier is that this is to the point until he releases.
Until he dies.
Yeah.
Physical
realization to the point is that this is what I was saying, that then it just merges and there is
of
no...
Of course. Definitely. Videha Mukti is there, no? No. Once he realizes in this life, then after death, there is Videha Mukti.
After death, yeah.
Yeah, there is no birth. There is no more birth for him.
there is no jiva atma anymore. It just releases.
To take birth, because all his karmas are burnt away. There was one point that had just come to my mind and I was going to say that, but now it has slipped my mind. Okay, so shall we go next verse? Purusha prakrutistho hi bhunte prakruti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sadasadyo ni janmasu. Purusha seated in prakruti experiences the qualities born of prakruti. Okay, attachment to the qualities is the cause of his birth in good and evil wombs. This is the theory of reincarnation, where people, rebirth. So what is being said? Purusha seated in prakruti. What is prakruti? I told you. Remember that prakruti is the body itself. Okay, and the purusha, now this word purusha that is being used, it is jivatma. Okay, in the previous verse, that's what we said, that this prakruti is responsible for the creation, but the jivatma is responsible for the experience. That is the point that I wanted to make. So this jivatma, why do you think it has experience? Why is that experience there? Let me give you an example. Say I am walking and on the road, I see a person being hit by a car. Okay, so I'm far away, I don't say, and generally it'll happen, oh, okay, there are other people, police have come, this, that, and I can walk away. I can choose to walk closer to that, and I go closer, and then I see that the person that is hit is, say, somebody living in my building. Okay, so the minute I see that, I'm like, oh my God, that's, you know, so-and-so, and that's, he lives in my building. So there is one experience that happens when I identify with that person who got hit. Okay. Now, when I go closer, I see that that's my best friend who got hit. Now, what is the experience? There is more identification with that friend. So now I'm totally upset. Ain't I? So experience happens only when I identify. If I don't identify with that prakruti, experience does not happen. That is the principle. Raman Maharshi withdrew himself from the body. So the pain, obviously there would have been pain, but he doesn't experience it because that prakruti is being operated upon. Body is the prakruti. That prakruti is being operated upon, but he has disidentified from it. So there is no experience of pain for him. What we do, and this is what is saying. Now this purusha, this word is jivatma. Okay, this jivatma gets identified with whatever modifications are happening in prakruti. That's why jivatma says, I'm getting old, I can't walk now, now my knees are hurting, everything is me, instead of my body is getting old. My knees, body has the knees and body is hurting. What is it got to do with me? When the jivatma says like this, it is identifying with the supreme reality. And when the jivatma says, I am getting old, it's identification with the body, as opposed to my body is getting old. My body, like my car is getting old, my house is getting old, my microwave is getting old. There's no identification. But body identification to let go is the hardest. And that's why when not self is defined, it is only talked about, body is talked about. Because there is a sense of I-ness only in the body. See, nobody thinks that I might love my car and I might love my clothes. But even that dull-witted person is not going to say that I am the clothes. But when it comes to the body, even intelligent people think they are the body. That is the problem. And this is what is happening. So jivatma is seated inside prakruti. Prakruti is the body. There is the jivatma. And then these experiences are happening because of the modifications in the gunas. Okay. Why is the body getting old? Because that is the nature of the body. Why is the mind getting hurt? This, that is because, you know, the gunas are playing their tricks. And this is what is happening. The actions are happening because of the they are interacting within themselves and actions are happening. Now, I identify with that action and I take it upon myself. I did that action and I am going to enjoy the result of that action. And that identification is what is leading to the next birth. This is what he's saying here. Karanam guna sangosyaha, guna sangha, you do sangha, attachment, you get attached to the gunas, means what? Not to the gunas, but whatever the gunas are doing, we get attached to it. If we say, okay, this action has happened because of the play of the gunas, I have got nothing to do with it. If I can say that for every action, for every speech, for every experience that is happening to me, this is happening because of the gunas, I have got nothing to do with it, then I do not create a vasana for myself. But I don't do that. Every action I identify. I identify with every action. I said it, I did it, I will enjoy, I am getting old, I am hurt, I am happy, I am sad. And because of this, I am, it is creating vasanas and it is creating next birth for us. We'll go into this verse again next week. Any questions?
Yeah, Ji, this is Padmaja. So I have a question. So is this the reason, is this the explanation for the difference in the way an evolved person is reacting to what is happening around in the world?
Around in the world, yeah, he is, yeah, because he knows that.
By the, yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Correct.
And this attachment is what creates bondage, and that bondage is bondage of rebirth, which we don't realize. So that's why we think, where is the bondage? We don't even know that there is bondage. Okay.
Jaiji.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify my thinking. How long the ego exists, ascendancy is lent, and that's what causes rebirth.
How?
What
is rebirth?
How long the ego exists?
Yes.
The ascendancy lends itself to that, and that what creates that. That life that would be that goes for rebirth.
The identification of the ego with identification. Yeah. Not the ego is given sentiency by the supreme reality. There's no problem with that. But when that identification happens, that's why I said the ego is there. But if the ego says that I have got nothing to do with whatever is happening with this body, then it is separate.
Yeah, it's because the ego is there. What I'm saying, once the ego is there, that phenomena will occur.
Ego is always there, no? Because reflection, no. Supreme reality is there, and as long as the body is there, mind is there, subtle body, ego is always there.
No, but when you disengage,
that ego is realizing what it is.
Yeah. But how long that doesn't happen, then rebirth occurs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're creating vasanas. What I wanted to tell you is that next Monday will be the last class for this year, 7th. 14th, I have an appointment, and I'm not sure whether it will be feasible for me to come and take the lecture. I can start you guys a week before I start my Saturday.